Hey everybody, Coach Michael here. Hope you had a great weekend. Back for a Monday open class. Probably noticed starting a little earlier today. Things got a little changed around today, but I'll be back on regular time next Monday for my Monday afternoon open class. And there's a lot to talk about today. We got four emails and really loaded with all kinds of insights and insights to share with you to help you on your path to better sleep or insomnia immunity, as we like to call it. Just quick note, of course, in case everyone knows that nothing here is medical advice. It's just general suggestions, general comments about people's experience with sleep. So without further ado, let's just jump right into our first email, which comes from Ernest. Ernest says, so recently I found I have sleep apnea, and that may be a big reason why I still wake up frequently throughout the night and all that. But at the same time, it has caused me to worry about my sleep again, so much again. I've been led to certain sources like this, and there's a link there to an article that you can see sounds really scary, brain damage, all that kind of stuff. Saying that extended sleep loss can cause irreversible brain damage, and I can't cause irreversible brain damage, and I can't help but panic just because I certainly do feel the effects. Brain fog, dizziness, forgetfulness, all those symptoms. I guess I'm just extremely worried now again about my sleep, yet I'm not at the same time because of all that I've learned from you. Maybe I'm searching for comfort slash assurance from you that is just nonsense. Haha. Anyways, thank you. Okay, so yes, thank you, Ernest, for your email. And by the way, real quick, emails, you can, so I'm gonna find it here, send it to, if you go to our Sleep Coach School website, you can, at the top of the homepage there is a link for submitting questions that we will answer in our broadcast here on YouTube channel. So, okay, Ernest. So a couple things. First is just, let's just get really clear right off the bat. No study has shown any direct cause from insomnia causing a health condition. There's no direct cause. When you see articles and studies, you have to sometimes look carefully, but you'll find them, phrases like associated with, linked to, may produce this, you know, may produce that. There's a lot of kind of speculation. If you dig deep into that study you referenced, that they use rats, not humans. It's more of sleep deprivation, not insomnia. So, you know, these are just qualifiers you have to always remember to remind yourself about, because some of these headlines can look scary, and there's no direct cause. There's no evidence of direct cause. So that would be my response to your question about an article. So backing up a little bit, you do talk about like, things, you know, you recognize now you have sleep apnea. So maybe you had a test, I guess, a sleep study, and maybe they're talking about treatment. Definitely get that treated. You know, if you have sleep apnea, just get it taken care of. And I've talked about this before. It can produce, you know, brief awakenings during the night. And if someone is more susceptible to insomnia, more predisposed, those brief awakenings can sort of like make it more likely that you're going to start to kind of recognize that you're waking up a lot at night. Whereas someone who doesn't struggle with insomnia, they're not predisposed to insomnia. If they have sleep apnea, they tend to not recall hardly any awakenings at night. So insomnia, it just kind of can make everything a little more challenging on the sleep apnea can on the insomnia side of things. So you want to take care of it, and it sounds like you're on the road to that. And that's fantastic. Let us know how it goes. Let's see if there's anything else in your email here that we want to go back over. Yeah, I get extremely moved. Okay, about sleep. I'm not at the same time because of all that I've learned from you. Good. So you just got to remind yourself, you know, of the core things that we talk about here on the channel. You know, some wakefulness at night is perfectly normal, that you can't force your sleep in any way. It's not like your brain suddenly became incapable of producing sleep. You know, all these things, it just helps to kind of remind yourself of that as you go along. Thanks for writing in. Look forward to hearing more from you, Ernest. Appreciate it. Next will be email from see, get my screen set up here. There we go. An email from Mia. Okay, there's a long one. So I went through, Mia, just if you're watching, and I kind of took the major points out of your email just for sake of time here, and I put them into kind of paragraphs. So there's 11 sections to this, so let's just jump right into it. Hey, so I've had insomnia for 2 years now. I just moved into a new apartment with random roommates, and it soon became apparent that I was basically incompatible with their personalities and the way they lived, which made me very hypervigilant. I've always lived in a quiet environment. At this time, I was also trying to study for an exam, so I ended up staying up late for a few days to study for it. Finally, one of those nights, I had the thought of, what if I can't sleep tonight? So that night, I shut my eyes, and I remember thinking, okay, now go to sleep. And that, of course, didn't work. And that night, I was basically in a half awake, half asleep state. Yes. Okay. So, Mia, predisposed to insomnia? Probably. You know, you're kind of a thinking person. You know, you're really kind of aware of things. Precipitating event, noise at night, disruption, you know, maybe a social roommate situation that made you kind of uncomfortable. And then suddenly it happens. Like you lay down and you start being aware that you're quote unquote trying to sleep. And that awareness, that recognition leads to, it's like a vicious cycle. It leads to anxiety about sleep, more efforts, more trying, more worry, hyper arousal kicks in. So it's a classic kind of, you know, predisposition and precipitating type of event. Let's continue on. And then that half awake, half asleep state, as you comment, that's very common for people with some of that hyper arousal associated with insomnia. For the next 2 years, I was in this deep hell from ages 19 to 21. I kept moving apartments thinking my roommates were the problem, which in a way, having roommates did add a lot of stress to my life. But ultimately, it was that thought of, is my ability to sleep broken? That was the root of cause of my insomnia. I tried everything. I was getting about 2 to 4 hours of sleep a day. And it felt light the entire night. The person I resonated with most from your and talking insomnia videos is probably Madison, because she thought she had something in her mind blocking sleep. And that's exactly what I thought for 2 whole years. Some classic phrasing in here in the second section, classic phrasing. So thinking that insomnia is caused by something, then you realize it's you start to think, no, it's not that. It's not the external things. It's like something in me is wrong. So my sleep, you know, my ability to sleep was broken. And then you try everything that leads to the sleep efforts. Light sleep ensues. You know, it's just this, it's a classic pattern. So I just want, that should give you some reassurance. We talk to so many people, clients with so many issues that are similar to this. It's a classic pattern, okay? So recognize that it's a thinking. It's most likely hyperarousal due to sleep-related anxiety, worry, and fear about being awake at night is really what drives it. So that's good that you recognize that it's not just some sort of external cause, but that because when that cause isn't really there, the sleep can still be problematic. So it's a change in thinking that is required. Let's jump to the next part here. And for anyone, you can look through old videos that we have on the channel, talking insomnia videos, and the one with Madison talking about something in her mind blocking sleep. Okay, third section here. I'm a naturally anxious person. I dislike being out of control of my own body. And Mia went on to describe a lot about this situation. So it's kind of a general, just a general and out of control with your own body. Only until about 3 months ago did I realize that I needed to look into acceptance and commitment therapy, or ACT, to really solve this. It got me to sleep about 7 hours for the first time in a while. So for three consecutive nights. So I was like, yep, this is it. I need to cure myself this way. So acceptance, commitment therapy worked for your general situation, your general condition that was, you described it in your email as being kind of out of control, not able to make things happen the way you want. And so that condition is, or that recognition is a predisposing trait of insomnia. So when people feel like they need to control a lot of things, that leads easily into insomnia. So ACT can be really helpful for a lot of people. It sounds like you read a couple books on it and that was working, and that's fantastic. The thing is, I have a few things I know for a fact perpetuate my insomnia. One of them is my insecurity about how I look when I'm sleep deprived. I keep a handheld mirror by my bedside, and for the last 2 years, the first thing I do is judge how well my day would be based on how rested I looked. Always determine how many hours I got by the volume under my eyes. And if I got anything less than what my baseline was, I would feel very horrible the next day. Very horrible the whole day and very insecure. If I could just never look into the mirror again and not think I have to see how much I failed, I think I would never worry about insomnia. Okay. So, just real quick, in my experience, when I'm working with clients and sometimes in clinic settings with patients, it's often hard for me to gauge how much sleep they've had. I really can't tell just looking at them. So the fact that you're looking in a mirror, it's almost like you're monitoring, you're monitoring. We talk about monitoring time a lot on this channel. Like during the night, we say, don't look at the clock. Okay. But don't even like put in your head how long time has gone by. Try to do the completely timeless night. Well, you should have the same attitude for daytime. You just get up. Don't hyper focus on things like your appearance, because it's just a slippery slope. You're going to notice every little thing. And maybe it's not just the volume under your eyes. It's like, oh, you notice this one little thing or this other little thing. And it just keeps the insomnia going. So that hyper focus on insomnia really drives it. It's one of the biggest perpetuating factors. So not looking at, well, you can look into a mirror, but just don't get too hyper focused on it. That's the whole thing. It's like when people check the clock at night, if it's not a problem, it's not a problem. But you don't want to get hyper focused. Like the equivalent of that at the mirror would be someone who not just looks at the clock, but they start to do the math. That's kind of the same idea that you're putting yourself through by monitoring how you look in the morning. So be really careful with that. Take a step back, and just go through your day. Forget about your night as much as possible. And I think you know that. I think I would never worry about insomnia. There you go. You said it yourself. Next section. I also feel like if I don't sleep, I'll feel like the things I say and do are out of my control, because insomnia is known to be similar to being in a drunken state. It scares me a lot. Okay. Sleep deprivation is, when people deprive themselves of sleep, they can have reaction times that are worse and all this kind of stuff. And thinking changes more dramatically. Someone with insomnia, they tend to be more hyper aroused during the day. They tend to, function okay during the day. Adding to that, they probably got a little more sleep than they thought they did. So it's not going to, it doesn't have to, ruin your day. The key is just not to focus on sleep during the day. That's really the key there. When you mentioned it's out of your control. So that control is really one of the big predisposing conditions of someone who struggles with their sleep. You see that in most people who struggle with their sleep. They're used to controlling things. They worry about control. They want control, and they try to control sleep, and it's impossible. Nobody can. All you control with your sleep is what time you're done in the morning. That's really it. You don't control the depth of your sleep. You don't control how many times you wake up. You don't directly control any of that. To some degree, you could say, well, you control where you are during the night. Like you control if you're going to stay in bed or maybe get out of bed for a little bit. Okay, but that's sort of different. You're already awake if you're making that decision. All you really control is when you're done, for the day, or you're done for the night and you start your day. That's all you can control. And you have to be 100% in agreement with that. Because if you're not, you're going to be looking for control mechanisms, and it's going to be a really frustrating road. Okay. The thing is, I know that my anxiety heightens my out of control feeling. I'm sure it does. I know I'm actually in control, but when I overthink it, I actually become less and less in control. I'm assuming you're talking about your sleep. The more you try to control it, unless you feel like you are in control of it. And then anxiety kicks in, high gear, just like you're recognizing there. You can't control sleep, but somehow, some way, through education, you know, really looking objectively at things about your sleep, objectively looking at your day, saying, you know, recognizing that your day can be often fine, independent of how your night goes. It doesn't determine your day. All of these kinds of things really help with the ability to give up control at night, and sleep then becomes easier, becomes less elusive. Another funny thing is I haven't had an episode, a control episode during the day in about 5 years. I accepted it being a part of my life, and then suddenly it went away. That's that right there. It's an amazing statement. So you recognize that you accepted it. You accepted like I'm just kind of this way. And then once you accept it, it changes. It's like sleep is exactly like that. Once you're okay with being awake at night, usually insomnia resolves. I can't seem to implement this with my insomnia for some reason, though. It's much harder with insomnia, which is so frustrating. It's like, I've done this before. Why can't I do it again? Yes, that is a very classic thought pattern for someone with insomnia. You have to remind yourself that you can sleep. You have everything you need to sleep. The thing you have to do is not focus on it, not be in your own way, not try anything specifically for sleep. That's really the ultimate way that insomnia goes away. Because when you do that, just like you accepted that your daytime existence, you know, you can't control everything, and you kind of accepted that you have a bit of that tendency, suddenly that anxiety of controlling things during the day went away. Well, you'll get there at night. And, you know, with insomnia comes some sleep loss, probably not as much as most people with insomnia think, but there's some sleep loss there. And that sleep loss can affect your logical thinking a little bit during the day. So it's easier to become a little more emotional, a little more, you know, impulsive, and these kinds of thought patterns during the day, which they kick in if you focus on the insomnia. If you don't focus on sleep at night, like, you know, I'll use myself as an example. I have no idea how much I slept last night. I have a rough idea. I don't know what time I fell asleep. I don't know how many times I woke up. I don't know how much sleep I got. My day today, same as regular. I had things on my schedule, had things planned. I'm taking care of them. This is one of them. And I'm super excited to be here. So I was like looking forward to this all morning long. So it doesn't matter how your sleep goes at night. You just get on with your day. Focus on the good things during your day. Take care of what you need to take care of. Process any worries or anxieties, all this kind of, you know, healthy living kind of things. Then your insomnia, it's something you'll forget about your sleep. It's one of the best things you can do about your night of sleep is to not remember it, not focusing on it. Okay. Yes, it is harder with insomnia, which is why I was saying it. It's, you know, you can become a little bit of that sleep deprived side of things, and that can make it a little more challenging, but not impossible in any way. So you can do it again. Your brain produces sleep. That's it. There are some other perpetrators for insomnia too, like using white noise to control the noise I can hear. Noise makes me anxious now, and I'm sure it's trauma from my first roommates. I also spend a lot more time in bed just sulking than I did before this started. That's another factor perpetuating this. I would love to unlearn the fear of noise and appearance obsession because I didn't have these things before 2 years ago. And I also want to accept insomnia. Okay, so clearly that was kind of a precipitating event. It was, you know, that your roommate situation has kind of triggered all of this. So, you know, the whole, just a comment about noise, you know, white noise, it's sort of in the sensory deprivation side of things, which, you know, generally there's no real harm in that. If you just do it every night and just forget about it, it kind of like drowns out some of the other more chaotic sounds that might be occurring in your sleep environment at night that might be more likely to wake you up, but it does not make you sleep. It does not produce sleep. If it helps, but don't put too much into it. Noise, you comment, noise makes me anxious now, and I I'm sure it's trauma from my first roommates. You know, trauma is a big word. So, you know, if you think there's more issues there than you're alluding to here, you know, you might talk to someone who is helpful for helping people work through some trauma. But when it comes to sleep, you know, it's not the white noise isn't making you not sleep. It's not making you sleep. It's doing neither. It's just, it can help some people kind of drown out other sounds. So be really careful how much you're putting into something like that, because all those things are slippery slopes. You know, all the gadgets and the things that people do for sleep can be just slippery slopes. Okay. Then you comment on, I also spend a lot more time in bed just sulking than I did before this started. That's another perpetuating factor. I would love to unlearn the fear of noise and appearance obsession, because I didn't have these things before 2 years ago. I also want to accept insomnia. Okay, good. That's some good thinking there. Yes, it's there's nothing to fear about some noise. You know, you just have to you know, keep sleep in its proper perspective. The fact that you are talking about accepting insomnia, so it's like that catch 22. You know, you want to not give insomnia attention and focus, because when you do, it gets really elusive. So it's kind of like an analogy that'd be like a cat. You know, you're trying to catch a cat and the cat looks at you like, what? And then it gets elusive. But if you ignore the cat, a lot of times it kind of just sort of settles in and near you. And that's kind of like, that's sort of like sleep, you know, it's kind of like that. So accepting some wakefulness at night, you know, any wakefulness at night is a great first step. That's really what you're trying to get to. So, so wonderful that you recognize that, and you'll get there. So, a lot of education and, kind of working through these thoughts definitely helps with that. Okay. Now we finish, or we continue on, almost done here. The moment you wake up from only getting 2 to 3 hours of sleep, what should you tell yourself? I always get extremely discouraged and even start crying out of disappointment. It's just driving anxiety. So, what should you tell yourself? Well, I would question kind of the premise of that and say, why would you know what time it is anyways? How would you know how long you've been awake, or asleep for that matter? Monitoring time at night is a big one. You just want to not do that. Go timeless at night. Start before you even go to bed. Don't even check the time. Who cares what time you go to bed? It's just, do you feel sleepy? That's all that matters. And then during the night, if you're awake, you're awake. All you do is ask yourself, am I like really awake? Like, I'm fighting it. I'm struggling. I'm trying to sleep. If you start talking to yourself like that, you got to change it up. Sit up in bed, do something you enjoy. Leave the bed, do something you enjoy. Don't get super hyper active in something. I always like to use a phrase. Don't repaint your garage, you know, do something you like, kind of like easy on the eyes, light, just kind of enough light to get by. Just sort of you're just in a very comfortable situation, and all you're doing is waiting to recognize some of those cues of sleepiness, you know, the heavy eyes. But that's even just tired. It's more like losing mental focus. That's the key for sleepiness. You start to make mistakes in what you're doing, start to lose focus on what you're doing. There you go. Now you know that you are more than tired. Okay, and I think we're finishing up with Mia here. I do almost everything in bed, school, work, eat, watch movies on my laptop, etc. I always have, even before my sleep fear started. If I wanted to try to fix, sleep restriction to fix my insomnia, could I still do these things in bed as much as I wanted? Or does sleep restriction also mean bed restriction? So let's say I establish a window of sleep from 12 a.m. to 8 a.m., from 9 a.m. to 11 p.m., could I hang out in my bed on my laptop? Can sleep restriction truly override sleep anxiety? Okay, so there's some kind of classic CBTI types of questions in there. You know, generally not, wouldn't suggest doing everything in bed. You know, don't live your life in your bed. You know, you need to move around and all that, of course, but you need to kind of keep your bed for, feeling sleepy. So the more you can use your bed for when doing anything, when you feel sleepy, it helps in the long run. You don't want your bed to start looking like an office or like, some hugely out of control room, because that can sometimes make people feel a little uncomfortable, sort of like, oh, I got all this stuff everywhere. So I wouldn't suggest that. It's not going to fix everything, but I think it's a better environment just for sleep. Sleep restriction, let's see. So I want to try sleep restriction to fix my insomnia. Okay, so, careful with the wording there, fix your insomnia. You have to think more general terms, which would be, will it help you be okay with being awake at night? That's a better phrase in your mind to use instead of fix your insomnia. So I would suggest not doing all those things you listed in bed. Try to reserve the bed a little more for, when you're sleepy at night. It's the most comfortable place to be, obviously. So that's what that's my comment on that. So then you get into some sleep restriction questions. Is also bed restriction. It kind of is. It's kind of a misnomer, sleep restriction. It just means like your opportunity. So that means like your time in bed, really. So yes, sleep restriction is just one of those terms that's kind of gone around for years and years and people use it. But it really does mean bed restriction or bed limitation or sleep opportunity limitation is really what it is. So let's say I establish a window of sleep from 12 a.m. to 8 a.m. Then you ask, from 9 a.m. to 11 p.m., could I hang out in my bed on my laptop? I would suggest no. I would say go do other things during the day that you can do in other places. Can sleep restriction truly override my sleep anxiety? Some people feel like yes, some people feel not really. Based on everything you've told me, I would be really careful about that. It's not a quick fix. If it was a quick fix, everyone would do it and it would just, everything would be fine. It's when you look at a sleep window, I'm going to comment about a sleep window in general here. So as some of you have seen this channel before, you can probably guess my whole focus with the sleep window is the morning. It's just the morning thing. Keep it consistent, get up, get some light, try to be reasonably active, get on with your day, forget about your night. But the start of the quote unquote window to me isn't a straight edge. It's not an exact point of time. It's roughly, kind of like a little before you sort of normally go to bed, start winding down a little bit and give yourself the ability to go to bed anytime you start to feel truly sleepy, which you need to recognize is more than tired. So the start of your quote unquote window should be kind of a gray zone. You're just simply asking yourself occasionally, am I feeling like I'm pretty sleepy now? Am I fighting it? Am I struggling to stay awake? If it is, bed. And if you lose that during the night, sit up, do something you like, leave the bed, do something you like, either one. Then if you get sleepy again, losing focus, back in bed. But then your morning is reasonably consistent, not exact to the minute, but just reasonably consistent. Like maybe within an hour or two, even in the morning, no big sleep-ins, no throwing in the towel at 3 a.m. Kind of go through your night really methodically. I think that would help. Last part from Mia, my sleep anxiety runs so deep, I even have dreams where I'm still sleep deprived. Sometimes in my dreams, I'm even shamed by others about being sleep deprived. I think it's just a projection of how I actually feel about myself and my insomnia. I know I can't control my dreams, but it just sucks to know that even in my dreams, I'm still suffering from this. Is it common for people with insomnia to have dreams where they're still fearing sleep, can't sleep, or anything sleep related? Is it common? Not uncommon, I guess I would say, just kind of anecdotally. If your mind is reasonably calm at the start of the night, chances are you're not going to have, uncomfortable dreams, dream scenarios. So, doing things during the day that are healthy and generally active as much as possible socially, that's difficult nowadays. But just doing anything you can to kind of engage in different things out of your bed, I think that would probably help with your dream content. Dreams are funny though. I don't know that much about how they, I don't know if anyone really knows everything there is to know about dreams. They just happen. I know kind of more the physiology of what's happening when you're dreaming, but, just process things during the day, live a healthy, active life, lose focus on sleep. All these kinds of things should help with that. Okay. So thank you, Mia, for that email. Appreciate it. We will now move on to our third email of our four. And this is from Ange. Okay. Hello, Daniel. I have read your whole book and watched your many videos. Fantastic. I know he always appreciates that. Really great information there. I've been following your program for a couple of weeks now. I was doing CBTI before starting your program, but it wasn't really working for me. And that can happen. So, you know, it's more of like a rigid kind of a process. So, for some people, it just doesn't quite work. It can sometimes kind of backfire a little bit. Okay, I found that your program really helped me to realize how to get rid of insomnia. I have now stopped worrying about sleep no matter how I slept, and I do everything your book says. I build a strong sleep drive through the day. I go to bed when I am really sleepy, and then I lay in bed not worrying about sleep at all, just relaxing and drifting, and I am in a semi-awake kind of condition. I have no breaks, hyperarousal whatsoever. Sounds fantastic. But I still can't fall asleep, although I have a strong gas and no break. I just lay there in a semi-awake condition for maybe an hour, and then I switch off and I fall asleep. Sometimes I drift off into microsleep, where I am sort of asleep, but I am also aware of my surroundings, and I am in such a condition for a bit, and then I become fully awake, and then I switch off and wake up in the morning. Okay, so I know you feel like there's no break going on, but what you described is evidence of some break, some thought processes, some thinking patterns that are kind of battling your natural sleep drive. So a little bit of the gas brake thing at the same time, like the analogy of kind of like a car, if you're pushing on the gas and brake at the same time, it's kind of like, you know, start, stop and fits kind of a thing. Kind of what you were describing there. As far as, you know, allowing yourself to fall asleep, you didn't make any comments that I could see about the time, but be really careful that there's no clock anywhere. You're not tracking time, how long things are taking. Forget about that. Guide your mind to something else. You know, don't be focused on the time. Even the people who turn the clock around or move their clock, it's in their head is the next level. Don't even go there. Don't start to count down minutes. Get it somewhere else. Focus on something else. You can't focus on two things at the same time. You can only focus on one thing. So take your mind somewhere nice, like a movie scene or a book you're reading or a vacation you took or a childhood friend, whatever it is, kind of try to get into it with your own mind, and it keeps you from focusing on sleep, which ultimately is how the break completely comes off. So that's kind of what I was picking up on when I was reading that. Okay, let's go on here further with, okay, here we are. And this was from Ange, right? Ange, if I'm pronouncing your name incorrectly, I apologize. Okay, yes, then lay in bed, not worry about, okay. But I still can't fall asleep, although I have strong gas, no breaks. Okay, you just lay there. Be careful about laying, you know, in bed for like an hour, as you comment here, and then you switch off. It's kind of a long time to be lying in bed if you're just thinking about sleep. So, you know, be careful with that. You know, catch yourself as soon as you realize your mind's kind of jumping around, you're thinking about sleep. It's like the fact that you're awake, you wonder what time it is. If you're starting to think like that, chances are that's going to happen sooner than in an hour. So that's when you need to make the decision to kind of mix it up a little, kind of break it up, sit up, do something you like, leave the bed, do something you like, either one. And that micro sleep is sort of like the brief moments where that you can get a lot of that when the brake and gas are kind of like at odds. So that's probably what's going on there. Aware of your surroundings. Yes. Could you please explain why this could this be happening to me every night, even though I have full on gas and zero brakes? I was just talking about that. So, you know, look at the brake side of things. It sounds like you're not taking big naps and draining out all the gas, you know, all the sleep drive during the day. Sounds like that side of things usually is fine. It's rare that someone's got a problem with that side. It's usually the brakes, and the brakes can be thought processes and thought patterns. I wake up the same time every morning as well. Before my insomnia, I used to fall asleep, switch off, not just microsleep, pretty fast. I've only had insomnia for 5 months, and I I think I'd get back to how I was soon when I stopped worrying about sleep, but sleep doesn't seem to self-regulate. Well, sleep always self-regulates. It's there. It will if you allow it to. I like the comparison, part of which is like just sleep and hunger are the same in one way, and that is they build while you're awake. You get hungrier and sleepier the longer you've been awake. Then they go away for completely different reasons, completely different ways that hunger and sleep resolve. They regulate. Hunger, you eat. It's an active process. You know, you eat and your hunger kind of dissipates for a while until it's later on, it's time to eat again. Sleep, it's not that, natural sleep is completely 100% passive. You cannot initiate it. So if there's a struggle with it, if it feels elusive, it's usually a thought process problem. You know, it's being worried that you're going to be awake for a while at night, that how are you going to make it through the day? And these kinds of thought patterns can really kick in kind of insidiously. So query yourself during the day. What are you thinking about? You know, are you worried about it? Are you obsessing over it? All this kind of self-talk. You want to kind of just make sure it's under control. You comment about the 5 months ago that it happened. I don't know what happened, but that's probably when you just start to think about sleep and think about being awake at night and all these kinds of feelings that would accompany that. Almost done here. Also, I often wake up 2 hours before my alarm and most times fall back into a light sleep for an hour and then wake again and back into light sleep till alarm goes off. It is interrupted sleep and doesn't feel so refreshing. Again, I didn't have such a thing before insomnia. I could always sleep for 10 straight hours. Always need an alarm to wake me. And if the alarm woke me, I could easily drift back into deep sleep if I wanted to. I wonder if insomnia threw off my sleep patterns. Is there any way to reestablish them and get back to how I was before insomnia? I've been an amazing sleeper my whole life until the last 5 months. So again, that 5 month reference sounds like that was a kind of a precipitating event of some kind. So the experience now that you're having of kind of shallow sleep, you know, kind of in and out sleep, brief sleep, kind of wake up a little bit for the last hour or so, two things are at play. One, hyperarousal. You know, it's you're thinking about your sleep, you're cognizant of it, you're aware that you're awake, you know, you know that you're struggling, you start telling yourself, you're just like, what am I doing wrong? You start to have all these thoughts that, you know, patterns that kind of drive it. But then it's also, there's a little bit of physiology going on there that makes it a little challenging for anybody. And that is like your dream sleep, your REM sleep. It's more prominent in that last part of the night. And that's a little bit of a shallow state of sleep. It's kind of they call it paradoxical sleep. Little side note here on REM, paradoxical sleep, because it looks like a person's awake. If you look at their sleep recordings, REM doesn't look that much different than wake, except for like your muscles lose their tone briefly. When you're in REM. So, it causes, it's like a natural tendency to wake up a little more kind of that last hour or so when REM pressure is strong. So it may be that, but more likely or more prominently, it's your thinking. It's your awareness of being awake. And then the thoughts of how do I get back to sleep? How do I, you know, how do I do this? I forgot how to sleep. There's something wrong with me. What I need to get my sleep. All these kinds of thought processes that really kick in. And then it sounds like time checking, you know, you're kind of glancing at the clock. That's a real common thing that people do towards morning. Usually before sleep was easy. That means sleep can be easy again. You can get that deep sleep again. It's not like, say, you know, in 5 months, that's all gone. I mean, deep sleep does tend to kind of, you know, reduce over decades of our life. So in 5 months, it's a thought thing that's causing that. It's not like you're not able to produce deep sleep. Of course you are. Okay. And the last part of this email from Ange, also, please note that all of these sleep disturbances don't really bother me. I don't analyze them or think about them. I'm just curious why this is happening and if there's an explanation. But I don't obsess about it at all. I still get enough sleep. And if I don't, I don't care. And I enjoy my day anyway. I look forward to your answer. Thank you so much. Appreciate your help. Well, there you go. It sounds like it's not a problem. It is not a problem. It doesn't have to be a problem. And it sounds like you recognize it's not a problem. befriending wakefulness at night, not applying lots of sleep efforts. I mean, these are the classic things that help people in the long run with their sleep. So it's, I know you understand that. So keep going with that. And and then you'll probably find that these experiences you're having that you're describing, like the late sleep towards morning, they tend to get less and they start to resolve. So, you know, sleep's a lifetime thing, right? Every night you're going to sleep. So I like to say there's no big hurry, right? So work on some things in an indirect way, work on your thinking, get engaged in things during the day, forget about your night, all that kind of good stuff. Go timeless at night. Make sure, I didn't really hear references to that, but I always like to double check, you know, just no clock checks and no self, you know, clock math in your head during the night. So let us know how it's going. Definitely keep in touch. Appreciate your email. And our last email will come from Vishnu. Hi, sir. I have insomnia, or sort of, for 9 months. It's because of my personal problems. I just worried and it caused me this. Then I sorted my personal problems, but I started to worry about my sleep. I started to think about sleep. I got stressed and frustrated till now, and it also led to heavier hair fall. So it's like losing your hair. My sleep and hair fall problem are getting worse day by day. I researched so many things and started to follow. It makes me even more stressed. Everyone tells me I am sleeping at night, but I don't get the feeling that I slept. I don't feel sleepy at all anytime, but I go to bed and close my eyes. Then I don't know what happens. When I wake up, every time in the middle or any time, I don't feel that I slept. From morning to evening, I don't feel tired, always active. I tried to meditate, but so many thoughts are coming to my mind. I cannot do that. What is the reason for not being tired and being always active, even if I don't sleep? Why do I get so much thoughts and dreams in my sleep? Why don't I get the feel of sleep? What to do? Okay. Okay, Vishnu. Let's talk about your situation here. Okay. So yes, something triggered your insomnia. Worry about personal problems. Okay, that sounds like the precipitating event. The issue of, you know, hair loss and things like that. That's not from insomnia. That's from stress. But trouble sleeping causes stress, causes anxiety. So it's not the sleep loss that's causing it. It's the anxiety related to sleep that sleep being difficult. That's driving it. That's driving the stress and anxiety. So it's not a direct cause. And then we talked about this in the first email too, I think it was, where, you know, someone was worried that like their brain, you know, was deteriorating because of, you know, insomnia. And it's not like insomnia doesn't cause hair loss, right? Stress and anxiety over long stretches of time has been shown to cause hair loss, but not insomnia. So, you know, don't throw insomnia into the mix, I guess, when you're looking at other things. But also at the same time, you know, you want to make sleep less difficult. You want to make it easier because that will lower your stress and anxiety. That often go from one thing or another. Noisy roommates, we talked about, anything can trigger insomnia. And I think you mentioned personal problems. So anything can trigger insomnia, but it takes a life of its own when it becomes the focus of things during your day and your night. And you become worried that you're awake at night. You're worried how you're going to feel the next day. You know, you start to think about it constantly. You got to get out of that thought pattern and befriending wakefulness at night, you know, and as much as you can, enjoy the time at night that you're awake. Don't monitor the clock. Just go through your night very methodically. It's that sleep like a robot idea that really can help. So set it and forget it. And just, you know, be really non-judgmental at night. Don't beat yourself up. Be kind to yourself. Sometimes sleep gets elusive for anybody. And the way to keep it elusive is to keep focusing on it. So maybe phrasing it that way helps. You know, what you've said in your email is really common. So, you know, just that, you know, it doesn't feel like you sleep. Your sleep is shallow. That's the hyper arousal at night. You don't know, you know, you wake up, you don't know how long you slept. You don't feel any different. It's kind of what it sounds like. And you're active during the day. That's the hyper arousal during the day. So hyper arousal, which is sort of generated from sleep related anxiety, and also through, you know, most likely you're sleeping a little more than you think you are. So it being that vigilant during the day is probably two parts, hyper arousal and sleeping a little more than you thought. So I think you're going to be just fine. You know, then you asked about thoughts and dreams, you know, probably just more awakenings during the night, during REM sleep, kind of if you wake up during a dream, you're more likely to remember it, that kind of thing. So hang in there. You know, I think you're going to be fine. It's really a change of attitude, I think, change of thinking about sleep, which you can get through education and being objective with your day, realizing like your day can be, you know, really good, independent of how the night goes. I've said it before, and I'll say it again. It's one of the best things you can do for your sleep is to forget about it as soon as possible when you get up in the morning. It's not to focus on it. It's what's done is done. You just get on with your day, because good sleep is probably a little more the result of a healthy, active day than the other way around. So, you know, don't put things off waiting for that perfect night of sleep, thinking, oh, I got to get this kind of sleep, night of sleep before I can, you know, apply for that job that I really want, because, oh my gosh, what if I don't sleep? No, get on with it. Go apply for that job, you know, put yourself out there and focus on that. And by focusing on that, you're not focusing on your sleep at all. And the same thing is at night, you can do the exact same thing with your own mind. Focus on nice imagery, a great experience from the past, or whatever it is, a movie or book. Go visual and really try to get into it, you know, waiting till you're truly sleepy in bed to do that. And then that keeps you from focusing on whether or not you're awake or not. So, or whether or not you're awake. So I think that would be, those would be my suggestions. Again, nothing medical advice. To all the people that email, appreciate it. I know we had a lot of material to cover today. Thank you for your patience. I want to jump really quick onto the comments here. And here is Ernest. Oh, thank you, Michael. I got your email. Really eased my nerves and reminded me that I have to shift my focus again on things I enjoy. That's where I found success. Perfect. Great to hear that, Ernest. Yeah, I did email you a little bit with some thoughts and then kind of covered them. I think I covered them all in the video today. But fantastic. It sounds like you're on a great road there, and you'll be fine. Check in with us again. We'd love to, you know, feel comfortable letting us know how you're doing. And if you have any other insights or anything, happy to acknowledge those. And Milena, thank you, Milena. Great to hear from you. Yeah, good stuff. So happy you support our channel. Really appreciate it. So, okay, again, long live stream today, but a lot to cover. I really wanted to do that. Leave you with the here for the Sleep Coaching Master Program. Go to the website, sleepcoachschool.com. You can submit questions there for our live stream. And you can also take go on to some free videos, and you can kind of see what we offer. And then if you want to join our community, our growing community of self-coaches, people that are overcoming their insomnia with our guidance and the guidance and support of the other members, it's a really great environment. And then we also have our certification program, and the for people who work with people that they want help sleep. So maybe they're a therapist of some kind, or they work with people, and maybe they recognize that when someone's struggling with their sleep, it kind of affects everything kind of negatively. And so they want to help those people. And we have the certification program, and the people in the certification program interact with the students in our self-coaching program. So it's a wonderful environment. Check it out. Okay, everybody, that is all for today. Thank you for your patience, and I will see you guys later in the week on Friday with Coach Daniel, and he'll be doing some live streams during the week. So pay attention to the channel, and a lot more to come. Thanks. Take it easy, guys. Bye-bye.